Open your Bibles this morning to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 3 is at hand. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. There are three keys to the kingdom I'd like to bring to your attention this morning that we want to embrace, emulate, and proclaim. Three keys. Number one, we need to look at the messengers of the kingdom. I use the letter S because you are a messenger of the kingdom of God. You're a messenger of the kingdom of heaven. As you've given your heart to Christ and Christ has saved your soul, you're a messenger, much like the messenger we're going to read about this morning. His name is John the Baptist. The other thing is we discover we need to have the proper message. So as messengers, we have to have the proper message. So we want to learn about the message that we are to proclaim to our family, to our friends, to our coworkers, to the stranger in the street, to people across the world, however you are reaching them. Could be through the internet or anything else. And then thirdly, as we have the message and the message and the messengers, thirdly, we have the Messiah. Everything points to Jesus Christ. Amen. He is the Son of God. He is the Savior of the world. He is the one who comes into our hearts and changes our lives. So let's dig in. Matthew chapter 3. The Lord has a lot for us this morning. In Matthew chapter 3, in the Gospel according to Matthew, it says, in those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he who was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. Now John himself was clothed in camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. Then Jerusalem, all Judea, and all the region around the Jordan went out to him and were baptized by him in the Jordan, confessing their sins. Let's pause here for a moment. Here we find this one who comes on the scene. His name is John the Baptist. Now we read about more details of his life in Luke's gospel, how Elizabeth gives birth to John the Baptist. He's a cousin of Jesus, and he has a special and unique calling upon his life. He is the forerunner of Jesus. He is a moral reformer and a preacher of messianic hope. According to Luke 1:36, Elizabeth and Mary, the mothers of John and Jesus, were either blood relatives or close kinswomen. Luke adds that both John and Jesus were announced, set apart, and named by the angel Gabriel even before their birth. In the popular belief of the time, it was believed that Elijah would return from heaven to prepare the way for the Messiah. That's found in Malachi chapter 4, verses 5 and 6. John reminded the people of Elijah because of his dress and behavior. What they encountered from this voice crying in the wilderness was a call to moral renewal, or I should say, repentance from sin. Also, baptism and a messianic hope. John the Baptist was a powerful man of God. He was a man of no compromise. He was a man of vision. He was a man of calling. He was a never give up kind of guy. He was a man that was going to give his all for the kingdom of God, and he knew that he would be persecuted for what he was going to do. You are the messengers of the kingdom of heaven today. Today, the world does not like you. Today, the world does not want to hear your message. Today, the world will come against you and persecute you in a variety of ways. We see Christians being persecuted and, yes, killed across the world today, whether it's by Islam or over in India, Hindus coming against Christians, or the communists who like to put Christians in prison and, yes, kill them. In the last century, 140 million people were killed through communism, which is also known as socialism. This is why our nation must never turn to socialism. We don't believe in social justice. When you hear the term social justice, just think socialism. They just put justice on the end to make it sound good. It's justice for all. But in reality, it's socialism. It's redistribution of wealth. It's communism. It's tyranny. So when you hear that term social justice bantered around by the Democratic Party and others, just realize they're talking about socialism, which leads to communism, which will lead to us being silenced and persecuted and probably in jail. You have to realize these things because this is what is going on in our country currently. I have more to say about that in a moment. John the Baptist was calling all people to repent of their sins. He's calling them to turn to God, to go from unbelief to belief in God, to return to God's moral ways. You cannot say you believe in God, the God of the Bible, or call yourself a Christian, and yet live an opposite lifestyle of that which Christ has called us to live. In other words, to live a sinful lifestyle. So many times people think, well, I just believe in Jesus, so I'm good to go. No, if you believe in Jesus, the Greek word for believe is pistos, and it speaks of having a committed, surrendered heart to Jesus Christ, to live for him with all your heart, not to live for sin, not to live for this world, not to live for this culture, but to live for Jesus Christ. And we believe in the whole Word of God as a disciple of Jesus Christ. That means we believe from Genesis to Revelation. We don't change the books of the Bible. We believe it because it is the inspired Word of God. We're told that. God breathed into men, and they wrote what they were dictated by God, and they wrote down what God had spoken to them, and they laid down for us these inspired scriptures. In fact, even in the book of Revelation, it says, if you take away from this book, your name will be taken out of the book of life. If you add to this book, the plagues that are found in this book will be added to your life. Why is it that so many preachers don't teach the book of Revelation? I don't get it. That means they take the whole book out of Christians' lives. And my dear preacher friends, you better preach the book of Revelation and teach it in all of its fullness, because you don't want your name taken out of the book of life. We must declare the entire Word of God, whether we like it or not, whether we don't fully understand it or not. We need to declare the entire Word of God, because God's Word will not come back void. God's Word is living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. God's Word needs to be taught in all of its fullness. John the Baptist is declaring a message. He says, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He's the voice of one crying in the wilderness. The life of John is very interesting. He saw himself as a servant of God. He saw himself as one to proclaim that the Messiah has come. Now, we have an interesting statement about Elijah, that Elijah would come first. Well, Elijah's going to come at the second coming of Jesus Christ, the second coming. Always remember, when you read the Old Testament, it speaks of the two comings of the Messiah. One, as the Savior of the world, as the Lamb of God to be sacrificed for our sins. The second one, he'll come as the Lion from the tribe of Judah to reign and rule and to conquer all of his enemies and to sit upon the throne of David in Jerusalem and to reign and rule for 1,000 years on planet Earth. The Bible says we'll be taken up in the rapture of the church as Christians. The Great Tribulation takes place for 7 years. And then comes the second return of Christ, Revelation 19. And we return with Christ to this earth. We'll have glorified bodies, and we'll reign and rule on the earth for 1,000 years. And the world, I believe, will be like the Garden of Eden once again. And it'll be under the rulership and the reign and the provisions and the peace and the love and the goodness of our Lord Jesus Christ as he reigns and rules. We find that John the Baptist declared in John 3, verse 30, he said, that Jesus must increase and I must decrease. In other words, his whole focus was to make sure that Jesus Christ is number one. Every preacher needs to make sure that Jesus Christ is the centerpiece of every message he gives. We need to make sure that Jesus Christ is the center of all of our worship, along with the Father and the working of the Holy Spirit. Everything, the whole Bible, Genesis to Revelation, bleeds Jesus Christ. Prophecy is a testimony of Jesus Christ. We also discover that as John is declaring this message, I want you to turn with me to John's Gospel. John's Gospel chapter, go with me to chapter 1. John's Gospel chapter 1, we have a little bit more detail given to us. Now, there's two Johns. There's John the Baptist and there's John the Beloved, who gives us the Gospel according to John, a disciple and apostle. That is John. As well as he wrote for us 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, as well as the book of Revelation. So John, the apostle, writes for us in regards to the life of John the Baptist. We do know that John the Baptist is going to have his head cut off by Herod. He's going to be killed because he called Herod out on his adultery that he was committing at that time. And so John the Baptist's head was cut off. So John was persecuted to the point of death. The Bible says in verse 15 of John chapter 1, John bore witness of him, that is John the Baptist, bore witness of Jesus and cried out saying, this was he of whom I said, he who comes after me is preferred before me. For he was before me, and of his fullness we have all received grace for grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. Now this is the testimony of John, that is John the Baptist. When the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, who are you? He confessed and did not deny, but confessed, I am not the Christ. And they asked him, what then? Are you Elijah? He said, I am not. Are you the prophet? And he answered, no. Then they said to him, who are you? That we may give an answer to those who sent us. What do you say about yourself? He said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord. In other words, no more corruption, no more immorality, no more rejecting of God, no more embracing other gods. Make straight the pathway of the Lord. It is time to come to the Messiah, the Savior. It's time to return to Yahweh, Jehovah God. As the prophet Isaiah said, now those who were sent were from the Pharisees, and they asked him, saying, why then do you baptize if you are not the Christ, nor Elijah, nor the prophet? John answered them, saying, I baptize with water, but there stands one among you whom you do not know. It is he who, coming after me, is preferred before me, whose sandal strap I'm not worthy to loose. These things were done in Bethabara, beyond the Jordan, where John was baptizing. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Our world is nothing but sin. We have all rejected God. We have all sinned before God. And Jesus wants to take away our sin. Thank goodness. Sin destroys. The wages of sin is death. The Bible says, this is he of whom I said, verse 30, after me comes a man who is preferred before me, for he was before me. I do not know him, but that he should be revealed to Israel. Therefore I came baptizing with water. And John bore witness, saying, I saw, this is at the baptism of Jesus, he gives a testimony. He says, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and he remained upon him, upon Jesus. And I did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. And I've seen and testified that this is, what's it say? The Son of God. God sends his only begotten Son to live a holy and righteous life amongst us and then to take our sins in judgment upon himself. And thus he dies on the cross. Go back with me to Matthew chapter 3. We see this firebrand of a messenger, John the Baptist. May I ask you this question in a very encouraging way? And yes, exhortive. When was the last time you shared Jesus Christ with somebody? When was the last time you told them they need to repent of their sins? My dear friends, this is our calling. This is our day. In this generation, every single one of us need to be firebrands for Jesus, sharing and reaching out in the love of Jesus Christ and declaring to them that everybody must repent of their sins, which leads us to point number two. Key number two for the kingdom of heaven is this. It is the message of the kingdom. The very first thing that John the Baptist says is repent. Repent means to turn around, to change direction, to change the mind and the will. The mind and your will. It does not denote just any change, but always a change from the wrong to the right, away from sin and to righteousness. The message of repentance was also proclaimed by Jesus in the beginning of his ministry. After Jesus is tempted by the devil, he starts his public ministry. We read about that temptation in Matthew 4. And as he begins his public ministry, he also will say the following, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel." Also, the 12 disciples, and they went out and preached that men should repent. We also find on the day of Pentecost, Peter said, "Repent and let each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins." Everyone must repent if they want to enter the kingdom of heaven. You must repent from your sinful ways. You're not going to be a liar any longer. You're not going to be a thief any longer. You're not going to be mean-spirited and hateful any longer. There's no domestic violence in a Christian home. You're not going to be a fornicator. You're not going to be a homosexual. You're not going to be a transgender. You're going to repent of sinful ways. And you're going to turn to God's ways. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me." The only way we can say that we are a Christian is when we repent and we're now living for Christ. We're not perfect, but we're surely not the same person we were after we've become born again. Amen? Our lives are being changed. So many times people want to go to heaven, but they don't want to change. Well, you can't go to heaven unless you submit your heart and your will to God and to the Lord Jesus Christ. The church of Laodicea, the lukewarm church. Jesus says, "You're neither hot nor cold, but you're lukewarm. And you make me sick, and I will vomit you out of my mouth." Why? Because they say they're Christians, but they do not follow the word of God. There is a false church amongst us. And it says you can live any way you want. Just believe in Jesus. That is a lie from the devil, from the pit of hell. And the blind lead the blind, where? Both to hell. We find in the book of Romans, chapter 3, verse 23, it says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." Romans 3:10 says, "There's none righteous, no, not one." Even if we say we're a good person, I'm a good person. I'm not as bad as the people who are in jail. That drug addict neighbor of mine, that alcoholic person over there. You know, well, I'm sorry, my friend. You may be good. I hope you continue to be good, but you're not good enough for heaven. Heaven is a holy place. God is holy. That's our problem. We're not holy. We're not holy whatsoever. So I need somebody holy to save me. His name is Jesus. He is the Holy Son of God, God incarnate, Emmanuel, God with us. And he lived a holy life. If we can go to heaven on our own merit, on our own goodness, on our own works, then would we not all say that God was just a fool to send his son to die a bloody death upon the cross, and Jesus was a fool to go to that cross? God is no fool. Jesus is no fool. We're all sinners. We've all sinned before a holy and righteous God. We're all going to be judged for our sins. The book of Revelation says that when a person dies without Jesus Christ, the books will be opened, and the books on their life without Jesus Christ, The books will be open. Every single sin they've ever committed are listed in those books. You go, oh, I don't know if God can write all that stuff. Really? Look at the computer systems we have today that records everything that you do on the computers. We're capable of doing all this stuff across the entire world. You think God can't do it? You bet, man. He's got one big computer up in heaven. And it's recorded in the files. Your whole life, every time you rejected Jesus Christ, every foul word that came out of your mouth, every evil deed you ever performed, all the wickedness and the vileness really within your heart, it's all listed that you're filled with filth and sin compared to God. Man, that's an ugly book, is it not? The Bible says you'll be judged for all those sins as you're cast headlong into the flames of hell. It's called the lake of fire, where Jesus says is a place of weeping, wailing, a place of outer darkness, a place of torment, where the maggots dieth not. You can't see anybody because it's outer darkness, but you can all hear each other screaming continuously and crying for all eternity. There are no second chances. God is calling all people to repentance right now. We have all crucified the Son of God. We have all rejected God the Father. And he's calling every person to repentance. What kind of a God would send people to hell? People go to hell because they will never, ever come to Jesus Christ. And they will always crucify Jesus Christ. Those are the ones that will go to hell. They will never turn. But a person who wants to know God, know their Creator, to know the Savior, they will turn in true repentance. There is no purgatory, my friends. There are no second chances. That's a lie of the Roman Catholic Church. The Bible says once you die, then comes the judgment. This is the Word of God we share. It's not my authority. It's not my thing. This is what God's Word says to us. So John says, and I want to bring the impetus of what it means to repent and turn. Turn with me quickly to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. I want to dispel some myths. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. When John is sharing this message, it's strong, it's powerful, it's bold. Yes, it's convicting. But why does he do it? He could have just lived a regular life and said, you know, I don't need that hassle. I don't want people to hate me. What do I need this for? He did it because he loved people, and he knew that people's hearts were deceived by the devil, by the world, by the culture, and by sin. And he loved them to the point of taking all the persecution that he would experience because he knew a few would get saved. Amen. This is our calling as a messenger with the message. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. The literal translation in the Greek is stop being deceived. Neither fornicators, sex outside of marriage, any kind of sex, nor idolaters, having something more important than God himself in your life. It could be your children. It could be your husband, your wife. Could be your job, could be money. He says, nor adulterers, sex with somebody else who's not your spouse, nor homosexuals. You cannot be a homosexual Christian, a lesbian Christian, a gay Christian. You cannot be a transgender Christian. When you become a Christian, you repent of your sins. You follow the authority of God's Word. The authority of God's Word says when God made Adam and Eve, he made them male and female. Don't follow the lies of our world today. Don't sit there like, oh, everybody's a victim. They're not victims. They're sinners deceived by the devil. And you and I have got to bring them truth. God says it's one man, one woman are to be married. Well, you know what they've gone through in their life. It doesn't matter. What matters is we live according to the Word of God. God is the authority for all things. He says, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but you were washed and you were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus by the Spirit of our God. I used to be a raging sinner before I was saved. So I know what it's like to be on the other side. And thank goodness and thank God that people came and told me the truth about me. Skinner, you're a sinner. Take the K out of there, man. They told me that I was living a sinful life. I used to laugh at them and make fun of them. Yeah, right. We're all going to hell. Yeah, right. You know how it is. We love sin. Sin is fun. Fulfills all the desires of your flesh. But it destroys you. In the long haul, it's going to destroy you. Emotionally, physically, mentally. Yeah, those drugs, man, they're really cool, man. Let's dope it up. Yeah, oh, yeah. Oh, try a little cocaine. Okay, yeah. Okay, go. Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. How about some meth? Okay, yeah. Crystal meth. Let's do it. Yeah. Hey, let's do that. How about some heroin? Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. How many people are dying of heroin overdoses? How many people's heads are all screwed up? You see people walking down the street today, especially, you know, the girls are easy to see. Sometimes guys, but they're walking around, they're just like talking to themselves and spinning their hair like this because their brain is shot from the drugs they've taken. It all seemed like a real fun party at first, didn't it? Oh, yeah, oh, just try this. Satan lures people down this path of destruction. People commit suicide. They have no hope. You and I have the message. Repent. Give your heart to Jesus Christ. God doesn't want you to get AIDS, gonorrhea, syphilis, chlamydia, human papillomavirus. He doesn't want you to get this stuff. I got a video I want to show you right now. It's on transgenderism. We're going to put up as a link on our website, probably this week or next week. We'll get it up there for you. This is by a doctor, Michelle Quitella. It's very important that you watch this because this is the next big movement. Now that we have homosexual marriages in America, wow, they really triumphed there, rebelling against God and the Democratic Party, Planned Parenthood, everybody else, doing all this stuff. Now the push is for transgenderism. Can we put on the video? Watch this in 5 minutes.
Congratulations, it's a boy. Or congratulations, it's a girl. As a pediatrician for nearly 20 years, that's how many of my patient relationships began. Our bodies declare our sex. Biological sex is not assigned. Sex is determined at conception by our DNA, stamped into every cell of our bodies. Human sexuality is binary. Either you have a normal Y chromosome and develop into a male, or you don't, and you will develop into a female. There are at least 6,500 genetic differences between men and women. Hormones and surgery cannot and do not change this. Look, an identity is not biological, it is psychological. Identity has to do with thinking and feeling. Thoughts and feelings are not biologically hardwired. Our thinking and feeling may be factually right or factually wrong. For example, if I walk into my doctor's office today and say, "Hi, I'm Margaret Thatcher," my physician will say I am delusional and give me an antipsychotic. However, if instead I walked in and said, "I am a man," he would say, "Congratulations, you're transgender." If I were to say, "Doctor, I am suicidal. I'm an amputee trapped in a normal body. Please surgically remove my leg," I'll be diagnosed with body identity integrity disorder. But if I walk up to that same doctor and say, "I'm a man, sign me up for a double mastectomy," my physician will. See, according to most mainstream medical organizations, if you want to cut off a healthy arm or a healthy leg, you're mentally ill. But if you want to cut off healthy breasts or a penis, you're transgender. Let's be clear. No one is born transgender. If gender identity were hardwired in the brain before birth, identical twins would have the same gender identity 100% of the time. They don't. I had one little boy, a patient we'll call Andy. Between the ages of 3 and 5, he increasingly played with girls and stereotypical girl toys and started saying he was a girl. I referred the parents and Andy to a therapist. Sometimes mental illness of a parent or abuse of the child are factors. But more commonly, the child has misperceived family dynamics and internalized a false belief. In the middle of one session, Andy put down the toy truck and held on to the Barbie and said, "Mommy and Daddy, you don't love me when I'm a boy." What the therapist learned is that when Andy was 3, his sister with special needs was born. She required significantly more of his parents' care and attention. Andy misperceived this as, "Mommy and Daddy love girls. If I want them to love me again, I have to be a girl." With family therapy, Andy got better. Today, Andy's parents would be told something quite different. They would hear, "This is who Andy really is. You must change his name, ensure that everyone treats him as a girl, or else he will commit suicide." As Andy would approach puberty, the experts would put him on puberty blockers so that he could continue to impersonate a girl. Experts assure us, it doesn't matter that we've never tested puberty blockers in biologically normal children. It doesn't matter that when blockers are used to treat prostate cancer in men and gynecologic problems in women, that they cause problems with memory. We don't need testing. No, we need to arrest his physical development now, or he'll commit suicide. But this is not true. Instead, when supported in their biological sex through natural puberty, the vast majority of gender-confused children get better. Yet, we are chemically castrating gender-confused children with puberty blockers. Then, we permanently sterilize many of them by adding cross-sex hormones. Cross-sex hormones are estrogen and testosterone. Those put young children at risk for heart disease, strokes, diabetes, cancers, and even the very emotional problems that experts claim to be preventing. P.S. If a girl who insists she is a man has been on testosterone daily for 1 year, she's cleared to get a bilateral mastectomy at age 16. Now, mind you, the American Academy of Pediatrics recently came out with a report that urges pediatricians to caution teenagers about getting tattoos because tattoos are essentially permanent and can cause scarring. But this same AAP is 110% in support of 16-year-old girls getting a double mastectomy, even without parental consent, so long as the girl insists that she is a man and has been taking testosterone daily for 1 year. Let's be clear. To indoctrinate all children from preschool forward with the lie that they could be trapped in the wrong body disrupts the very foundation of a child's reality testing. If a child can't trust the reality of their physical bodies, who or what can they trust? Transgender ideology in schools is psychological abuse that often leads to chemical castration, sterilization, and surgical mutilation. If that's not child abuse, ladies and gentlemen, what is?
The war is raging. Are you a fighter? Are you going to watch this and then go and do nothing about it? This cannot be a place of church goers. We just go to church. You're called to be people on fire for the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? You see, when we receive such educated, logical, absolutely truthful information, we must share it with people. The war is raging for the souls of precious children. And you and I are called to be in this war. And you and I must fight with all that is within us. Because we are followers of Jesus Christ. Enough of church goers. We need to be Christian activists. Oh, he used the word activist. That's right. The book of Acts. Amen. You see, this is our calling. John the Baptist wasn't a man who says, hey, I don't want to mess with people. You know, I don't want to offend anybody. I got to be politically correct. Jesus wasn't, the prophets weren't, the apostles weren't, and every Christian is not to be politically correct. We're to be men and women of God who are trying to save people from the deceptions and the lies of the devil and of this world and of our flesh. And we're to stand up for those who cannot stand up for themselves. The precious little children. This is why I get very passionate from this pulpit. Because the devil is destroying a generation. Again. So when John says, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand, he says, turn from your sins. Turn from these sinful ideas. Turn from this sinful indoctrination. I gave you in your bulletins, political party platform excerpts. Pastor, why do you talk about politics from the pulpit? Because I'm commanded to. Jesus dealt with the politicians of his day. The Old Testament prophets dealt with the politicians of their day. From Pharaoh and on. From the king of Babylon. The king of Medo-Persia. To the rotten kings of Israel. To the north. And they vacillated to the south. And Jesus had to deal with his religious and political leaders of his day. And so did Paul the Apostle and all the disciples. This is what they vote on. Political platforms. I'm not an apologist for the Republican Party. I'm just telling you, their platform is closer to our belief system. I'm not saying all Republicans are Christians. They're not. But I can tell you for sure that the Democratic Party is the spirit of Antichrist. Just read their party platform. They're for abortion. They're for marriage between a man and a man and a woman and a woman. They're not for Israel. Religious liberty and voter identification, public restrooms and showers. What are we talking about? We got two completely different belief systems. And yet so many Christians vote Democrat. Why do you vote for hell? And you're a Christian. You're voting for the killing of babies in the womb. You're voting for marriages that are an abomination before God. I'm not saying all Republicans are right on. But let's find somebody that is close to our belief system and let's vote for them. But the political party themselves have declared what they believe in. It was 2008, the Democratic Party said, we're not going to put God on our platform. They got such a backlash, they decided to put him back on. Is that how God's to be treated? Either you believe in God or you don't. And you want a political party that says, we can't celebrate Christmas, you vote Democrat. Then John the Baptist is coming after everybody. He came across to the political leaders, the religious leaders, all people, and he's letting them have it. Why? Because they're in sin, but they think they're so right. There's going to be hell to pay for everybody unless we repent. Now listen, I share this passionately because it's with you and it's going to go out on the radio and across the nation. I see all these churches supporting the Democratic Party. I ask myself, are they saved? I don't think so. I don't think so. Because if you're born again of the Holy Spirit of truth, you love babies. You love traditional marriage. You love the nation of Israel. What are we talking about here? People do things for money. Who's going to give us the most money? Jesus says the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. It's important for us to realize when John the Baptist is calling people to repentance, he says the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The holiness of heaven. And this is where we're at today. We are messengers and we have the message. Amen. Now look, you guys, I'm not mad at you. Okay, so if I get fiery red, I'm not mad at you. Okay, I love you guys. But we have to realize what's going on in our culture, our world, and our nation. All political parties are corrupt. But I need to know which one's closest to my belief system if they're going to rule and reign over this nation that I live in. I'm a citizen thereof. And I want the best, the closest to what I believe, to rule in our nation. The Bible says righteousness exalts a nation. Righteousness, the right ways of God exalt the nation. Let's go back to our text. Okay. Pray for me. And bless the blood vessel. Anyway. You know, I love people, but you know, the deception of the devil. I want homosexuals to be saved. I want transgenders to be saved. But I can't sit there and compromise the message and say, it's okay, guys, you can live this way. You can indoctrinate our children with these ideas and everything's going to be okay. It's not okay. It's not okay. It's time for our nation to have some type of moral values, to return to God, because that's going to be the best thing for us and for people. I'm tired of people being strung out with drug addiction and alcoholism and suicide and so forth. And when you have a false concept of who you are and how God designed you, you're going to end up that way. So many times people blame God. It's don't blame God. Blame the devil. Blame this world. Blame our culture. It's not because I'm telling homosexuals you got to repent that they are going to commit suicide. No, I'm trying to save their soul for eternity. I've been at the bedside of those dying of AIDS, praying with them and for them, receiving Christ and going to heaven. I have nothing personal against people, but I have everything personal against sin. And that's the war. And if somebody wants to promote sin, I'm going to fight back with everything I've got because I want to promote righteousness. You can promote your thing. I'm going to promote my thing. Amen? What's wrong with that? I'm not bigoted. I'm not bigoted whatsoever. I'm trying to promote the best for all, according to God's word. We find Jesus said, many will say to me in that day, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to you, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. So there's a false church, a false message within the church today in these last days. Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear good fruit, nor a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits you will know them. David came to that place of true repentance. Yes, he committed adultery. Yes, he committed murder. Yes, he lied. He did all those things. But this is the beauty of God's grace. That's why he says repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He repented of his sins, and he was received by God. No matter what sin we've committed, we can repent and be received by God. The Bible says here, he says, make the way of the Lord, make his path straight. We go to verse 5, then Jerusalem, all Judea, and all the region around the Jordan went out to him and were baptized by him in the Jordan, confessing their sins. That confession means they want to turn from their sins. They don't want to keep living this way. They're confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees, these are the religious leaders of his day, coming to his baptism, he said to them, "Oh, dear friends, it's so good to see you. I don't want to ruffle your feathers." He didn't say that, did he? Listen to John. I think I'm in good company, okay, when I get kind of excited, a little, maybe a lot. But anyway, he says, "Brood of vipers, you bunch of snakes, you lowlifes, you ripoffs, you bunch of snakes, who warned you to flee the wrath to come?" Wrath is coming. "Therefore, bear fruits worthy of repentance." In other words, a Christian bears fruit worthy of repentance. Your whole way of living, your whole way of thinking, your whole lifestyle will change when you come to God through Jesus Christ. You're not going to be living for sin. You're not going to be saying, "Well, God made me this way." You're going to say, "How did God make me? I read, it says he made me a male, and I'm to be married to a female." Now, you may have a temptation to sin and homosexuality, but you will no longer be in shackled to sin for him homosexuality. In other words, God says, "I'll give you victory. You follow me." It may be a lifetime fight, but you still have the power to overcome through Jesus Christ as you dedicate your heart and your will and your mind to him. "Well, I think I'm a girl." When you're a boy, it may be a temptation, but you don't follow the temptation. You follow Jesus Christ. Amen? The Bible says here, "And do not think to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father,' for I say to you that God is able to raise up children to Abraham from these stones. And even now the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree which does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. But he who's coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly clean out his threshing floor and gather his wheat into the barn, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire." Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. And John tried to prevent him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and are you coming to me?" But Jesus answered and said to him, "Permit it to be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness." Then he allowed him. When he had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water. And behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove, alighting upon him. And suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Here is the baptism of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the thing is about Jesus being baptized, why does he say, John says, "I have need to be baptized by you"? In other words, "I'm a sinner. You're not a sinner. You're the Son of God, okay? So I need to be baptized." He says, no. "Let's permit it for right now to fulfill all righteousness." In other words, what does that mean to fulfill all righteousness? Jesus had no sin to repent of, so why is he being baptized? But he's using it as identification. In other words, he's identifying what's going to happen in his own life. He's going to die, resurrect, and move forward. You and I, we come to him in baptism. We get baptized. It's our old sinful nature dying. Now we come up washed by the blood of Christ, and we're born again, and we're in the new resurrected life that we have in the Holy Spirit. We're a new person in Christ. Fulfill all righteousness. I want all people to follow this example as a sign that they're followers of me. Baptism does not save you. What saves you is surrendering your heart to Jesus Christ. The Bible says if you believe in your heart that God has raised Christ from the dead and confess with your mouth, you shall be saved. For with the heart one believes in righteousness, with the mouth confession is made to salvation. This is the work of God in us. We also see real quickly that the Trinity is involved here. The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, all three involved in this work that takes place. You and I as believers, when we talk about God, we're talking about the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Okay? That's our God. Those that don't believe in that, such cults as Jehovah's Witness, Mormons, and so forth, we need to share with them about the truth of God's Word and about the Trinity, about the deity of Christ. They don't believe in the deity of Christ. We need to share with them about that because they also have been deceived by the enemy. So it's important for us as believers that we learn the truth and we declare the truth with all that is within us, like a John the Baptist, like our Lord Jesus Christ, like Paul the Apostle, like Peter, like the other disciples, and we declare it no matter what, because we love God, we love people, and we love the truth. And we will not and we cannot compromise what God has given us through His Word. And all God's people said, let's stand and pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your loving grace and kindness. We thank You for Your goodness. We thank You for this beautiful passage on baptism and the boldness, the courage, the strength, the unyielding spirit of John the Baptist. As he was a man of God, he would not give in to anyone. So, Lord, we pray that we would be the men and women of God filled with Your love and Your grace and Your mercies for all people, all people. But yet we will stand strong in the truth for the sake of the children, for the sake of people. We want to reach all people, Democrat, Republican, homosexual, heterosexual, transgender, all that the devil has deceived. We want to reach them with the truth and the love of Jesus Christ, the righteousness of God. May You anoint our hearts and our minds and our lives in these last days to reach souls, to make disciples. As every head is bowed, every eye is closed, my dear friends, are you saved? If you're not saved, my friend, God is speaking to you. And let's get saved right now. Anybody here not saved, raise your hand. Anybody here? God bless you, my friend in the back. Amen. God sees your hand. God wants to see you make a commitment to Him. Anybody else? Jesus said, if you confess Me before men, I will confess you before My Father which is in heaven. But if you deny Me before men, I will deny you before My Father which is in heaven. Anybody else need to get right with God this morning? Raise your hand. God bless you, my friend in the back. Anybody else? As God speaks to your heart. For those hands that went up, repeat this prayer with me. It's a prayer of faith and salvation in Christ. Just repeat after me right now. Dear Heavenly Father, I confess to You that I am a sinner, and I want Your Son, Jesus Christ, to come into my heart and save my soul. Lord Jesus, please wash away all my sins with Your holy and righteous blood, and fill me with the power of Your Holy Spirit. I need Your help daily, Lord, to love You and to honor You, to serve You. I need You to teach me. I love You, Jesus. I love You, Father. And I thank You for the great salvation You've given me and the hope of heaven forever. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, God bless the two hands right there.